Blog Talk Radio.
So
we're going to do the normal. We're going to, you know, do our statement of faith and pray in, and then I'm going to go to like the last 5 minutes, 4 or 5 minutes of last week's broadcast. I hadn't done that yet to see where we are at, where we left off at. I believe we finished the video, and I believe that was all that we did last week. Okay, and so then I need, you know, I'll have to find the video and see what's next in there. I was listening to his thing on salvation and hadn't quite finished listening to it all yet. So we'll find out where we're going to start in this. A lot of the things that they're doing with the site, I won't say a lot of the things that they're doing with the site, some of the things that they're doing with the site, I'm not interested in infiltrating, you know, the black church from the standpoint of infiltrating it, but only interested in this from the regards of if witnessing to family and friends, okay, and most of them, you know, most of our people are aware. They're in the church, and they have belief systems that, I won't even say that. I will say that they are firm. A lot of them, or most of them, are firm in what they believe. And so whether it's true or false, my thing, I guess the problem I have with the church is that they don't believe that they really have to obey the Most High. For some reason, that just, it just be mad and it eats at me. Because how can you say you belong to the Most High, but then at the same time teach you don't have to follow His commandments, or teach that you're making up your own commandments to follow? And I think that series yesterday, when the Most High had us going through Ezekiel, there was something that I saw in that sort of like dug a knife deeper into the same wound for me. Because, you know, Israel was guilty of this, and the church is even guiltier of it, which is, you know, making up our own standard and not using the standard of the Most High. And so when they say, you know, I really am going to have to do a precept on if Messiah fulfilled the law, why don't you have to? Because, you know, it's like saying nowhere in the scriptures. I can't find that time anywhere in the scriptures. I can't find a scripture that even hints at that. Not that I can't find a scripture that says that he fulfilled the law. Yeah, that's verbatim right out of the scriptures. But I can't find anywhere in the scriptures where the concept is, because Messiah fulfilled the law, you don't have to. I can't find that, and I don't know where they're actually getting that from. And I've been looking, because everything I read in the scripture says otherwise. It says otherwise. And so that particular spirit, it really is eating at me, because I know that I have a brother that's a reverend in the church. They're not in the same church. And my sister, who calls herself a pastor, her husband, you know, submits to her in that position. So it's like she was the one called, and I told her, I said, you know, that goes against the scriptures, period. Because if the scripture says, I suffer not a woman to teach a man, then you got to reconcile that. It has to be reconciled, you know, in the Word. And so, you know, I talked to her about it some, not trying to lose my sister as my sister, but, you know, trying to also educate her in that her husband is supposed to be the head. And I think it's a pride issue with her. He really does support her, and, you know, and I don't take that from them. He really does support her in the ministry, but he attracts a lot of women, and, you know, I was sort of looking at him as being, I've always looked at him as being submissive, but I found out that that really wasn't the case. So why they had it set up that way, because, you know, my other brothers and sisters that are in the churches are, you know, they're of the same mindset. But I think she may be slowly but surely coming around, because he didn't really have an active part in the ministry before, and now he does. And I'm thinking that even he is starting to be listed as the head pastor. But, you know, I know that she had a pride issue because, you know, she felt like it was what God gave her to do. I said, you can minister. I said, but if a man doesn't give you, you know, permission or authority over him, then how are you going to counsel him? How are you going to do anything? So that was always been an issue with me, but nevertheless, a lot of the doctrines that the churches have concerning salvation, like Messiah is their Sabbath rest, that's her doctrine, and I was like, explain it to me, show me in the scriptures, because, you know, I'm a show me type of guy. And they can't show it in the scripture. Then it comes down to, well, it's a matter of faith. I said, that's not in the scriptures, though. So that's my biggest, I think it's a pet peeve of mine right now. Because being in the military, and understanding and having lived protocols of authority. When you don't submit to the Most High, when you are making up your own standards, then there is something seriously wrong with that. So, I know I will have to do that precept, and it will be, I want to do it from a position of love and not from a position of anger. Because right now it kind of has me angry, and it shouldn't. I don't think it should. So I'm trying, you know, I want it to be the Spirit of the Most High speaking and not me. But, you know, the more I dig into this, the more, you know, that, we go into the history, the more that the scripture reveals itself, you know, the true nature of the Most High. You know, I don't believe that they're serving the same God that's in the Bible. And I don't want to be prideful or boastful or anything like that. That's not, you know, where I'm trying to go with this. But, you know, they don't line up with the God of the Bible. And it's like and I don't know whether it's caused by him or if I'm off base. And I'm really trying to make sure that I'm not, you know, that it's not a prideful thing with me and that I'm not off base. But that is his Spirit speaking to me. Because as we, you know, as I said, as we look at Israel, as we look at the Old Testament, as we look at what's in the New Testament, I find that the Most High and the Scriptures are consistent all the way through. That it's consistent all the way through. And so this spirit, you know, I think I really need to go before the Most High in prayer. Sometimes I have to just, you know, let something alone. When he shows it to me, and let it alone and let him speak to me, give me a dream or a vision thing. But I for the life of me cannot figure out how they can even, I don't even see that in, how they can even get that out of the scripture. That because, you know, because Messiah fulfilled the law, we're not required to. Then I'm like, okay, see that, I don't see where he says we're not required. And so the scriptures that I believe that they're using that I hear all the time, kind of went over some of them last night, and it just shows me more and more that when we read it in Ezekiel chapter 20, and he says, and I gave them precepts, I gave them statutes and judgments that were not what? They weren't good. And he caused them to, you know, God caused them to worship another God and think they were worshiping him. Because he said that he had determined that they were, that's what they wanted. But it only served to further what? Condemn them. And so when we're looking at, you know, doctrine, and when we're looking at salvation, when we're looking at the walk, and when we're looking at what the Most High wants in his people, when we look up these words, a lot of things seem to contradict, you know, when you first look at it. How can the word righteous mean lawful? And then, but you're not required to be lawful, but you're required to be righteous. Let's look up a word real quick before we get started. And everybody's got a dictionary, right?
Right.
Let's pull out our dictionaries this morning. And let's look up this word, justified. And I'm going to search the Old Testament, the Torah, for this word justify, and see if it's in Torah. They can look it up and let me know when you have that word looked up.
Justify?
Mm-hmm. Yes, justify.
I have
enough. Read the definition to us. And what dictionary are you coming from? And
Online.
Okay, what dictionary are you using online?
It's the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Okay. Give us what they're saying is the definition for justified.
All right. First, is having done for or marked by a religious reason. And then, theology meaning is declared or made righteous in the sight of God.
Okay, let's start that one, that second definition, declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Is that what that was? So hold on a minute, because my mind is racing here. Samira, you have a number of dictionaries, right?
Yes.
I believe I hear you looking up stuff all the time, Sister Denise.
Yes, I do, but I need my magnifying glass and I can't find it.
You gave it to me. Is that the one you're looking for?
Yeah, I think so.
You gave your eyeballs away?
I did.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah, but I ain't gonna say nothing.
I don't say
nothing. I ain't gonna say nothing. let's see. I'm declared or give me that second definition again, Sister Lorraine. Declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Okay. All right, Sister Denise and Sister Mary gave you her eyeballs. Can you look it up in one of your dictionaries? All right. Sister Mary, do we need to send you a new pair of eyeballs?
I'm giving some, Brother Miles.
All right.
But yeah, you can if you want. Very much appreciated.
But I don't know what prescription your eyeballs are.
Oh, okay.
Do you need like 2 times magnification or do you need like 50 times magnification?
Okay, I have a definition that says give evidence as a witness in a law court, in court of law.
That's justified?
Huh?
That's justified.
Oh, I thought you said testify. Now I need hearing aids.
All right, turn up the volume on the ones you got now.
Okay. What am I looking for again?
Justified.
Justified.
Justified. So approved to be right or reasonable. The person appointed as fully justified, I confirm it. Fair or to make righteous in the sight of God.
Okay, that's the one Lorraine came up with.
Okay.
What dictionary are you using?
I'm using Webster.
Okay. So Merriam and Webster sort of have the same definition.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Denise, what are you using?
I'm using 11th century college dictionary.
Okay. What did they think back in the 11th century? J-U-S-T-I-F-I-E-D.
Wait. I was on the computer thing, computer dictionary, but it ain't acting right.
Okay.
I gotta go to the dictionary. Thank you.
Okay. Then I'll take us into Torah. First place that this word justified is used in it is in the book of Job. And it's the same word. And I'm looking to see, I just want to see if it's the same word all the way through the scriptures. 12 verses in the Psalms. Let's see if it's the same word. But sometimes they translate a word in the scriptures in the English they'll translate a word from the Hebrew to more than one word in the English. So I'm just looking at these real quick. You can look, if you got a strong, and I hope you all have a strong at least, is the Sadak, T-S-A-W-D-A-K. Sadak. Sadak. The S may be silent. I'm not sure if the S is silent on this, but the T is silent. But I'm looking at Job chapter 13, verse 18. That's the first place where you know Job chapter 11, verse 2. That's the first place you will find this word used in the scripture. Let me look at some other places here in the Psalms and see if it's the same word. It is the same word. Psalm 143, be justified, that's the same word. Isaiah, justified. Maybe justified. Same word in Isaiah. Same word in verse 45, or Isaiah 43, Isaiah 45. And then Jeremiah. Has the same word used in all these scriptures, but in the, let me look at the Young's literal, because in the English they add a lot of words with it. I guess to try to explain this concept, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Job chapter 11, verse 12. In the Young's literal translation, is a multitude of words not answered? Is a man's lips justified? From the KJV to anybody ever read the literal translation of the Bible? Okay, I'm going to share my screen for a minute.
No, I have.
The literal translation of the Bible doesn't always read the same way like the KJV. So let me see if I can share my screen. I have to find, you know, I got all my software, but it's out in some boxes. So I will give you guys, maybe I'll buy another version of this and send each one of you a copy. Sister Mary, are you just using a magnifying glass? Are you reading glasses? What is it that you're using?
No, I need my magnifying glass. I got my reading glass.
Okay.
Maybe I'll go give me one tomorrow.
Now, I don't want you to have to do something that just to satisfy us.
I get my book of definitions, but I don't have justified it.
Right, amen. Go ahead. You see my screen sharing? Mm-hmm. And so you should see hopefully the scriptures up.
Yeah.
Okay. See if I can make this larger. And all right, is that text larger on your screen?
Yeah.
Okay. Here is the KJ. Now I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 translations of the Bible in this program. Okay. This is the King James Version. And so it says, in this, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Okay, that's the way it's translated in the KJV from the Hebrew. Okay. But if we look at the Young's literal translation, it says, is a multitude of words not answered? And is a man's lips justified? So those kind of... they're kind of saying the same thing. And again, you know, you could get, what, a different meaning? So should not the multitude of words be answered? Is the multitude of words not answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Is a man of lips justified? So it's saying the same thing. It's just saying it, what, in a different way?
Mm-hmm.
This word justified, if we look at, here is, now, here is why we have to look at context a lot of times. This word, tzedak, you can see this in the left-hand corner of my screen?
Yeah.
Right here. That's the Hebrew for that word. Okay. So it tells me that it comes from the Strong Hebrew Dictionary. This is the reference 66.3. And actually I can click on this and it will give me all the verses that contain this word in the Hebrew.
Oh, okay.
So where I say search for 8663 in the KJVSL, which is what we're looking at, which is it has the English and the Hebrew, or if we were in the New Testament, the English and the Greek. So that you can look at the actual translation. So these are the, right here, this one word, rogue, here in the English actually translates into should not the multitude. So it's not a word, like it's not a word for word. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Because, right, because Hebrew will have a meaning to it, but in the English, you might need more than one word to bring out what that word actually means in the English. That's why, so this is a what? A translation from the Hebrew to the English, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it says, should not a multitude. Now, when we look at that word, tzedak, then we have a modifier here. It says be justified, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For this one word. But if we go to other verses that have this word in it, I want to make sure, let's see. In Genesis chapter, and see in the English, it was the word justified, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I looked at the word justified, I only really came up the first place that I came up with that it shows up is Job chapter 11. But when we look up the actual Hebrew word, it actually first shows up in Genesis. So it's not going to be using the English word justified. Let me see if I can make this part bigger. And I know we're getting off topic here this morning, but I think it's something I need to do. Okay, I'm going to make that screen bigger. Come on, where's my split at in these windows? There it is. All right, so I don't have to do that. Let me just click it here. Okay. So here is the word tzedakah in Genesis 38:26. He has been more what? Righteous. So they took the concept of the word. So Yehuda Nawar. This word here in the Hebrew means to scrutinize or to look intently at, hence with recognition, to acknowledge, Yehuda acknowledge. To see these other words, anytime you see a word like that's in italicized in the KJV, means that it was added for clarity. That word is not actually in the Hebrew. Everybody understand that? So in your Bible, when you're reading, do you ever notice any italicized words? Those italicized words don't actually exist in the literal. It means that they were added for clarity in the English. And Yehuda acknowledged and said, so this them would not be there, but in the topic, he's talking to, we'd have to go back and read the story, but he's acknowledging, this has to be some people or something that he's acknowledging. Or it could be what, the articles that she had, his signet ring. But it's not actually in the Hebrew. So Yehuda acknowledged and said, Sadak. And that word in the Hebrew, this is the definition right here. Sadak in the Hebrew, that they've used them to translate as justified.
No.
But right. right here, they've used what a more, they used it to say that he was more just, he was more righteous. So they translated that same word as she has been more righteous rather than she has been what, justified. But it's the same Hebrew word. That's why I say when you're talking translations, then it really does take, you know, going in and studying what is actually being said. So this word tzedak means to be positively, to cause or to make right in a moral or forensic sense, cleanse, clear self, be, do justice, justify, justify self, be turned to, and then righteous or righteousness. Okay, so so we have what, words within words? Now, let's look up the word. Well, I'm going to go into the New Testament and find this word justified, okay? Because as we look through, like, it doesn't have justified here in, actually in this, what, in this verse. It has what, righteousness, right? So justified and righteousness basically mean what? The same thing. To be justified and to be righteous, they're interchangeable. That's how they're using it. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah.
So if we go down through the verses.
Yes. Jeremiah.
Let me.
Mark 11:19.
So we got Genesis 44 and 16. And in this case, the same word is translated, how shall we what? Clear ourselves. Oh, no worries.
I have a strong Concordia Bible, but I didn't know how to read it. And you just told me.
Oh, amen. Amen. So the same word in Genesis 44 and 16 was translated, or how shall we clear ourselves? How shall we what? Make ourselves righteous? Or justify ourselves? I don't know why my mouse is not working inside of that window, but and we got Exodus 23 and 7. And I have to read this whole verse to see. I don't know why I keep doing it this way when I can just. And the innocent and righteous. And that is, this is a different word here for righteous here. So the word righteous is a different Hebrew word. Or what they have translated as being the word righteous. Let me see something here. That's the deck for righteous. So write that down for righteous. So this is where, when I look up the word righteous, Sadiq from the Strong 866-33, just, lawful, righteous man. So it means lawful or right, and lawful and righteousness are what? Synonymous. Just, lawful, and righteous are what? They mean the same thing. So let's look and see what, no, I don't want to do that yet. I'm going to throw off my list. No, maybe I already did. So it would make you wonder, why would they use a different word that means the same thing? And why we're not, what, consistent?
Trying to trick you up.
Yeah, I don't know if it was trying to trick you up or it is problematic, I would say that. Okay, where's my split? This one, there it is. Okay. Yeah, that is righteous. And these righteous is found in 100. I don't know if you can see this on your screen. Can you see this line right here, the small line? It says 206 matches and 197 verses. So this is how many times that, you know, we could find this word in the scripture. And in this case, this same word that was searched for righteous was translated was a what? Was a just man? They used the word for righteousness. Yeah, they used it that he was a just man. It doesn't actually translate to the word what? Righteous.
Right.
Okay. So that's why I say we have to, then we would have to know that we'd really have to look up the word just and righteous to find out that they're actually the what? Same word?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. And
I guess righteousness is the quality or the state of being morally correct and justifiable.
Yeah, now that's a what, English dictionary translation?
Oh, yeah.
But from the Hebrew, it just means lawful or righteous. But they'll use the same words in the English. They'll use the same Hebrew word or what was the same Hebrew word and give it a different English what word. So was just, and let's see in the next verse what, how do they use it? Seeing righteousness. So, same word, righteousness, righteous, 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 part. So far, I've only seen one word where it actually went, it actually used what, justice instead of righteous, or just instead of righteous. But we can just know from the translations that justice, righteous also mean this right here.
Lawful.
And that's what determines whether you are righteous or not, whether you are just or not. So even when we look at this verse right here, play with this for a minute. Because this is supposed to be Israel's, this is supposed to be Israel's strength. And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments? We're going to look up these other two words, statutes and judgments. As well, what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments, so righteous law? Okay. If we were to put the actual translations in here, or the actual meaning of this word, so righteous or so just or so lawful. So when we say, what nation has statutes and judgment so just as all this law, or we can say so lawful as all this law, or so what? Righteous as all this law. I guess in the English it would make more sense to say so righteous as all this law, so you're not saying, as you're not using the word law, so that it reads better. I think for a lot of this is for reading sake, so that it reads better to the reader. Okay. Look up another verse. Okay. Let's look up the word statute.
Yeah.
So that when we see the word, when we see the word statue,
this refers to an everlasting natural nature of scriptures. Today we would use the phrase set in stone.
Set in stone?
Today we would use the phrase set in stone.
Okay. Let's see if we can get that from the meaning from the Strong. Strong is H2710. An enactment, hence, an appointment of time, space, quantity, labor, or usage, appointed, bound. It can also mean commandment, convenient, custom, decreed, due, law, measure, necessary, ordinance, ordinary, portion, set time, statute, task. Let use your definition in the scripture and see if it makes sense.
I got one more, Brother Miles, to say a law enacted by the legislative branch of government.
Okay, so a law. Okay, so we'll use the first definition, set in stone, and then we'll use the second definition, a law. Okay, because I'm leaning toward the second definition in the context of scriptures. What nation is there so great that has set in stone and judgment so righteous as all this law, which I set you this day, which I set before you probably this day, yeah, which I set before you. The set in stone definition doesn't read right to me in there. And what nation is so great that has set in stone and judgment so righteous as all this law? It would mean, if it says it's set in stone, that means that it's what, unchangeable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in reference to
what we read in that text. And what nation is so great that has rule? Because I have one that says rule of an organization or institution,
okay,
a law written and passed by the legislative body.
So rules work there. And rules would also equate to the same thing as what, law? So that rules we could use, set in stone just doesn't read right. But it would mean if it was there, if it was used in the translation, then it would mean what, unchangeable?
Right.
As unchangeable. Rules, unchangeable laws, and judgment. So righteous is all this law. And I think the reason that they use these different words in the English is, again, sometimes when you repeat a word, it just makes the reading not sound right. So if we say, what nation is there so great that has laws and judgment so righteous as all this law? I mean, that would be okay. It would read right, which I said before you this day. But the definition for a suit would be a rule or a law. So we're kind of repeating the same what word.
Right.
But they're in the English they're using statute. So if you underline it and said what rule or law. And righteous also means what? Lawful. Look up judgment. So Lorraine, what definition do you get for judgment? Yeah, what definition did you get for judgment? Yeah. We're looking up judgment right now. Okay. Say that again. The ability to make. Okay. Do they have a second definition?
A misfortune or calamity viewed as a divine punishment.
Okay. Now that's out of the Merriam Dictionary Online. Is that where you're getting that from, Lorraine? Is that coming out of the Merriam Dictionary Online?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and what did you find, Sister Mary?
The ability to make considered decisions or come to a simple conclusion.
Okay, and what about you, Sister Denise?
I got a formal discussion given by a court, obligation, a debt.
Okay, so that's what those words now, and what is your source?
Oh, just put the 11th College.
Okay, and your source, Sister Mary, was? Okay. Here is on the screen, this is the strong definition for the Hebrew word mishpah, which is what's used here for judgment, that they translated judgment.
Right.
Okay. But the Hebrew word is mishpah, and that word actually means properly a verdict, favorable or unfavorable, pronounced judiciously, especially a sentence or a formal decree, human or participant, divine law, individual or collective, including the act, the place, So the judgment has to include the act, the place, the suit, the crime, and the penalty. So the judgment includes all these things right here. Spring?
Yeah.
Okay. Abstractly, justice, including a participant's right or a privilege, statutory or customary, or even a style. Adversary, ceremony, charge, crime, custom, desert, determination, discretion, disposing, due, fashion, form, to be judged, judgment, okay. But it really should include, it's a formal decree, and let's see. It's a verdict that is what? Favorable or what?
Unfavorable.
Pronounced judiciously. So this is a matter of it's official verdict?
Right.
Pronounced, and we usually get official verdict out of what? The law?
Right.
Especially a sentence or formal decree, human or participant, divine law. Human or participant's divine law, individual or collective. So it can be a verdict can be given to what, an individual or collective or to a group, including, and it must include the act, the place, the suit, the crime, and the penalty. That's what a judgment is supposed to do. Okay. But it's having to do a verdict favorable or unfavorable. And it's dealing with divine what?
Divine law.
Okay. Now, man is taking judgment unto himself, and we have courts that give out judgment.
Yeah.
And then we ourselves make judgment, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But when we're talking in the scriptures, it's really talking about a verdict, favorable or unfavorable, in regards to divine law, in regards to the laws of who? The Most High. Okay. Let's look up another word. I want to look up ordinance. So we are supposed to obey the statutes, laws. Now, if we say statute, laws, commandments, the statutes and the laws, are we saying the same thing? The ordinance. And that first find that in Exodus chapter 12. The Hebrew word for it is tekwa. Huqua, huqua, or huqua. You know what I need to, yeah. And meaning substantially the same, appointed, custom, manner, ordinance, site, statute. Let's look at the root here. Okay, what definitions did you guys find for that in the dictionary?
regularly enrolled.
Arranged, regularly enrolled.
Orderly. Or arranged in an orderly or regular fashion.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have an optimization degree or direction. Order a law set forth by a government authorization.
Okay. Say that again.
A law set forth by a government authorization.
Okay. That we have like city ordinances.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or degree by FA
or
DNA.
Fate, FA, did you say fate as an FATE?
Yeah.
Okay, so read that again because. Yeah, read that part again. Ordained.
Ordained or decree by faith or a gift.
Okay. So something that's ordained or decreed by faith or a deity.
Right.
Okay. Is that the same thing you found for Lorraine?
It's the same thing I came up with that Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Okay. And in the Hebrew, the root of this word is an enactment, hence an appointment of time, space, quantity, labor, or usage. Appointed, bound, commandment, convenient, custom, a decree. Do a law, a measure, necessary, an ordinance, portion, set time, statute, task. So again, within the context of the verse, you shall keep it a feast by ordinance. This would seem to be dealing with what? The time, let's see, we'd have to take into all of this. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast. To Yah throughout your generations, you shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. So, by its definition, from the Hebrew, an appointed custom, manner, ordinance, a site, a statute. Again, it comes back. All of them are still coming back to this one same word, what?
Law.
Forever. So in this case, it would also include what the time that you're supposed to do it.
Right.
And what you're supposed to do. And the way you're supposed to do it. Does that make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when it says keep a statute, is ordinances, his judgment, let's look up the word commandment, okay? That's one we haven't looked up yet, right? 21, that word is okay. Yeah, means the same thing. Find it in your book yet?
Not yet.
Okay, who has...
I have one.
Okay, go ahead, Sister Mary.
A rule that must be obeyed, especially one handed down by God.
Okay. Now, is that your definition, or where is the source for that? Okay. Did you find it, Sister Lorraine?
Yeah,
the divine rule. One of the Ten Commandments. Okay. And we'll wait on Sister Denise.
And I got the same one to write just for some reason.
Okay. Now, out of the Hebrew, this word is pay. P-E-H, so. And it means the mouth as a means of blowing, whether literally or figuratively, particularly speech, specifically edge, portion, or side, adverbially as an adverb with preposition according to, according, according as, after, appointment, ascent, collar, command, commandment, eat, edge, entry, mind. So it really means to say something. When you give a commandment, you're giving what? An order? You're giving an instruction. So in that Elohim what? Said that he spoke. According to the commandment. And so then we would have to look at exactly what he spoke to understand what the commandment is, right? Because it's really just that commandment, that word itself, that word by itself. In your dictionaries, it sort of have added to it for what, understanding? I mean, that's what they have done. But they've added to it. It really just means according to what was spoken. So if we went up read this in the plain, well, let's actually read this in the Young Literal. And all the company of the sons of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin on their journey by the commandment of Jehovah and encamped in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. And the people strived with Moses and say, give us water and we drink. Now, oh, there, I thought I missed this word. So all the company of the sons of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin on their journey by commandment of Yah, or by what? We use the word commandment, the speaking of Yah. Yah spoke something to them, in other words, right? And so it would have been Yah said, or he gave them a direction, and we use the word commandment. But really the Hebrew word just simply means Yah told them to do it, right? That's basically. So anything, if that's the case, if this word really means speak, then anything that Yah says is a what?
Commandment.
Does that make sense? Not.
Yes, it does.
All right. So anything that the Most High says. Now, when he, you know, based upon what he says, gives us specifics about what we're to what do.
Do and not to do.
And not to do. Okay. And so commandment doesn't necessarily mean law. We don't see that definition here, though, do we?
No.
So when you say you keep the Ten Commandments, that means you keep the ten, what, spoken instructions of Yah?
Absolutely.
Okay. And when we say the law, let's look up this word law. First used in Genesis chapter 11, that's daughter-in-law. I don't want to use that one. Son-in-law. Well, let me look it up and see. They keep using this in reference to relationship.
One, Brother
Miles.
Okay. A rule or set of rules to grab or prohibit our actions in terms of certain orders or patterns or behavior.
Say that again.
Rules or set of rules to grab or prohibit us. Prohibit our actions from certain orders or patterns.
Okay. And so hold your finger there and then look up protocol. The other ones can stay on law, but look up protocol.
Me?
Yeah. And I need to actually look up law again and get the right word for it.
Thank you. prescribes or prohibits our actions, certain orders of pattern or behavior.
Okay. They kind of sound synonymous to me. Set of rules and the protocols are a set of rules and what?
Okay, go back to
oh. Keep your finger in both of those places because you'll be flipping back and forth. Or put a piece of paper there.
Well, I'm on my phone.
Oh, okay. Put some paper on your phone. Going back.
System of rules that explains correct conduct and procedures to be followed in a format place.
Okay. A set of rules to be followed.
Right.
In a certain order.
Format.
Yeah. So it's formatted and it's predetermined that this is the proper procedure. And order. Okay. And the law is just a set of rules. Okay. So we'll just go with a set of rules.
Know what to do and what not.
Right. We'll stay with that definition for law. And we won't include protocol in that. So what did you find, Lorraine?
A rule of conduct or action that a nation or a group of people agree to follow. And the second one is a whole collection of established law of the land. A rule or a principle that always works the same way under the same conditions, such as the law of gravity.
Okay. So, what's common to all those? A set of rules, right? Okay. And in this case, they're saying that people agree to follow?
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Sister Denise?
I got all the rules of conduct established and enforced by the organization legislation. Or a cup of a given or other group.
So again, these are rules that are agreed upon by that are set up and agreed upon to be followed.
Right.
Okay. So when we say the laws of the Most High, we're talking about what? The rules that he has set up?
Yes.
When we say statute equates to what? Law? Again, rule, ordinance equates to what? Law? And rule, judgment is equates to law, but it actually, the judgment is what, the verdict.
Verdict and the punishment.
Right, and it can be favorable or what?
Unfavorable.
Or unfavorable, but it's still dealing with that the rules and. If you break those rules, what the then you get a what judgment? Okay, if you break the law, you get a judgment. Okay, so what is the law? What is the law? How did Christ fulfill the law? In other words, how did Christ fulfill the rule? What did the law require? What is it that was that's required of us? Okay, that was a rule. Okay, but how did he fulfill the law? Because we have a bunch of rules, right? And we are collectively in the scriptures calling them what, the law?
Well, he kept the Sabbath. He kept the 6 days.
Okay.
He obeyed what he put in faith in himself.
Well, now the feast day would be a ordinance, right?
Yeah.
An appointed time that we're supposed to keep and how we're supposed to keep it. A law, a rule. Okay. Let's look this up. Now, this is what Messiah said. Think not that I have come to destroy the law. That would include the statutes. That would include the ordinances. That would include the judgments. That would include the commandments. Because they all equate to what? The law. Think not that I am come to destroy the rule. Do we say it that way?
Yes, you can.
Everybody agree with that or think I'm off base?
I don't know. The rule.
Okay. Or the prophet. What was the job of the prophet?
Tell the truth of what's going to happen.
Speak the word to tell the future. I want to give you a standard definition for the prophet, what their job is. The prophet is supposed to speak only what who says. That's all they're supposed to do. They don't have their own what, opinion? They don't have their own word. The prophet speaks what the Most High said. So I'm not coming to destroy the rule or what the Most High said through the what?
The prophet.
Okay, I'm not changing. I'm not coming to destroy either of those. I am not coming to destroy, but through what? So how could he destroy the law? Right, but that's not what I asked. How could he destroy the law? Exactly. He would have to what? Unsay what he said? He'd have to change it, right?
Yeah.
He said he didn't come to what? Do that. Think not that I have come to destroy the law, to get rid of it. Or what the prophet said. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Look up this word, fulfill. It's going to be not in a Hebrew, because the New Testament is not written in the Hebrew, it's written in the Greek. So that word is phalero. to make replete, in essence, literally, to cram, a net, level up, a hollow, figuratively, to furnish, or imbue, diffuse, influence, satisfy, execute, finish. Verify or coincide with the prediction, accomplish, complete, end, expire, fill up, fulfill, be made full, come fully, preach, perfect, supply. Could mean end, could mean what? Complete? To make full.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since he didn't come to destroy it, did he come to end it? Did he come to expire it?
No.
We would have to look at other verses to determine that. Right now, we can say what? No.
Yeah.
But we would have to actually look at other verses to determine that. Complete would make sense. We'd use that. Word replete. What does this word mean? Yeah, the root of what we were just reading. Okay, let me go back. Yeah, it means to complete or to make full or covered over. Find that word replete. And that word replete in the English means be filled or well supplied with something. Be full.
Abundant.
Right. You like over full, right?
Right.
So when we look at this word, where was it? Fulfilled. Phalero, its root is from this word, which simply means phaleres or phaleres, covered over by analogy, complete, full. Came but to what? Complete the law, to give it its form.
Yeah.
Now, by context, so if we read this verse in context, or let's read the verses above. Uh, starting in verse 1. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And you can still sing, right?
Yes.
And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Elohim. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets, which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savior or its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So he's telling and saying, giving us examples of different conditions of being what? Blessed.
Uh-huh.
And if you're in that condition, what your reward is. So when it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See Elohim?
Yeah.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of Elohim. So he's giving different conditions of being blessed and what the reward is for it. Okay. And then he comes into, you know, rejoice or be glad. And be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So if you are blessed, then you are in one of these conditions. If you're poor in spirit, then this is your be glad, for this is your reward. If you are in mourning, then this is your reward. You shall be what? Comforted. So on. Okay, and then he goes into, for great is your reward, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. Now, salt can be used for many different things. It can be a seasoning. It can be a preservative. Salt also what? Cleanses. It's used for all those things. But if the salt has lost its savor or its flavor or its power, the salt has what? Saltiness?
Uh-huh.
And so we use it and we usually use salt for the flavor, but of all the things that salt is used for, you say if it loses its what? Power. If it can no longer be used as a seasoning, if it can no longer be used as a preservative, if it can no longer be used as a cleanser, then it's lost its what?
Its power.
Its power is no more good. Okay. Wherewith shall it be salted? Or why shall it be salted? Why are you going to use it if it's lost its what? Power? It is thenceforth good for nothing.
No.
But to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So he's saying that if we lose our power, then what good are we?
Nothing.
We're good for nothing.
Nothing.
If we can't be blessed, then we have lost our power. And we're good for nothing. Okay. And if we can't be a blessing. Now, it's hard for you to be a blessing if you're not what?
Blessing. I'll be right back.
All right.
Stop, not catch up.
Okay. You are the light of the world. Again, we are supposed to be the example to the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. If you put a candle up under a bushel, what's going to happen?
It's going to go out.
No, it ain't.
What's it going to do?
It's going to start a big fire is what it's going to do. An out of control fire. So I would challenge you, my sister, go out and grab up a bunch of grass, that dry grass out there, or and if you put it in like a bucket or whatever, you can consider that like a bushel. And set it on fire and see what happens. Now, a bushel is bigger than that, but if you light a candle and put it up under a bushel, it's going to make an uncontrollable fire until it burns the bushel out. And it's going to be more of a hindrance than a what? Help. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. Now, can you sisters answer a question for me? Is heaven and earth still here?
Yes, it is.
What about you, Sister Lorraine?
Yes.
Did Sister Mary must be paying her sewage bill.
Right.
He gives us a clue here. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. So this is saying that as long as this exists, right?
Mm-hmm.
One jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law. Till all be what?
Fulfilled.
So now he goes in and he says, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called what in the kingdom of heaven?
The least in the kingdom of
heaven. So whosoever shall break one of the least of the commandments, till heaven and earth pass away. If they break one of the least of the commandments, they shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall teach and do them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if he was doing away with his law, would he still want you to be what? Teaching them? If he was going to destroy the law, would he want you to teach the law?
No.
But he said, I didn't come to destroy it, right?
Right.
Nor didn't come to destroy the law or the prophet, Philip. So look, keep looking. Go to Romans chapter 2. So before we go to Romans chapter 2, Okay. Now, what is Messiah actually, what is he actually, when we read his word, what is he actually saying to us? First, he's telling us of a way, you know, to be and what we are to be to the world. Okay. And then he tells us, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least, bless you. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach men, so he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes, shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, their righteousness was determined by their level of what their righteousness meant, their lawfulness, right? And what was the problem with the Pharisees? So you need to look at the scribes and the Pharisees, because unless your lawfulness, your righteousness, your lawfulness, how well you keep the law, exceeds the level of the way that they keep the law, you shall in no case what?
Enter the kingdom of
heaven. So what was the problem?
The Pharisees believed that Yeshua was the Son. The scribes didn't believe in the resurrection.
Okay. And if you believe in either one of those, is he saying that it makes you better than the scribes? Or the Pharisees? That was a question. Is that okay? all right. When
I get my hearing aid, you want me to give
you
one too?
Give me a, if you do, give me a new give me a more up to date one. Let's see here. What was the problem with their righteousness? You said that they didn't believe in one didn't believe in the Messiah, one didn't believe in the resurrection. Okay. But did they?
Well, let's see. I guess they did because it was written in the law. Or in the prophets.
The right here in Matthew 15. Let me make sure that we keep apples with apples.
Ready, 1 minute.
Well, we're after 10, huh? We are. time be flying by.
It do be flying by. It's always flying by when you're having fun.
Amen. Amen. I didn't realize it was that late. Okay. Matthew chapter 23. If you will read that for us, Sister Mary, starting in verse 13.
But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you set up the kingdom of heaven against you will never go in yourself.
Does it say, for you never go in yourself, or does it say, need to go in yourself?
Neither go in yourself. Neither suffer them that are entering.
Keep going.
You devour widows' houses, and for the preacher's own prayer. Therefore, you
keep going.
You confess sea and land, make one proselyte.
No, one proselyte.
And when he is made, you make him one more the child of hell than yourself.
Keep going. Keep going.
Outside of them may be out. Go on, Whiten statue.
Whiten sepulcher.
Beautiful outward, within a pool of dead men bones and of all unclean things. Even so, you also outwardly appear here, right? Because you build the of the prophet and glean
and garnish
sepulcher of the righteous. I say, if we have been the days of our fathers, we would not have been with them the blood of the prophet.
Stop there for a minute. So he's telling you all the inconsistencies in the what? Scribes and Pharisees?
Mm-hmm.
Scribes are teachers. Pharisees are the ones that enforce the law. Okay. And he calls them consistently what? Hypocrites. Okay. So they are abusing and misusing the law. Okay. And are they actually doers of the law?
No.
Now, in this verse 30, he says, and say if we had, they say, the scribes and Pharisees, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Okay. He says, therefore, or wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets, as you said that they were your fathers. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You serpent, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. And some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Now, who is he talking about? All of his disciples. I'm going to send you prophets, send you wise men, and I'm going to send you scribes, and some of them you shall kill. Now, they said if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have, what, shed the blood of the prophets. But when he sends them to them, he says this is what they're going to do to them. Because they're hypocrites. They're saying one thing, but they're doing what? Something else. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Now, let me go back up. Well, I'm going to do this real quick, okay, because I know you guys got to go. Then spake Jesus to the multitude of his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They sit in the seat of what? Authority. They interpret the law. They enforce the law. Okay, that's the seat of Moses. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you to observe, what does he tell you to do? Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. observe to do. But do not you after their work. Why?
They say it and do not.
For they say it and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So I'm going to put a burden on you, but I'm not going to help you with it.
Hmm.
But all their works they do for what?
To be seen of men.
They make broad their phylacteries, they enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the market. and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you, let him be called your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be obeyed, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, you're not going in, neither do suffer you them that are entering to go in. You don't even suffer those that, you're not helping those that are trying to, what, enter in? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. And hypocrites, for you compass or surround the sea or go around the sea and land to make one proselyte. You go out of your way to make a proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold the more the child of hell than yourself. In other words, they are more zealous to do the things that the scribes are doing, which are what? Being hypocrites. So this is why he says your righteousness has to what? Exceed theirs? It's about a mentality. It's about your mentality toward the kingdom and doing the things that Messiah wants us to do. And I think in Matthew chapter 13, where we were at, or 15, if we had continued to read, then we would be finding out that the keeping of the law is a mentality. And what he wants us to be as saints, the law sets limits, okay? The law sets a minimum standard. So the law, somebody in the law takes you to court for your coat, he says, give them what?
Your cloak also.
The law is calling for a minimum of your coat. He's asking you to go beyond the minimum standard. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So the law sets minimum standards. So if you keep all the law, you're just keeping the what? Minimum standards of God? Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
If you keep, because the law is a minimum standard. If you keep the law perfectly, you're only keeping minimum standards. He wants you to go above that. That's what Messiah wanted, for us to go above that, because if we just keep the law is a minimum standard. It's like if you are supposed to go to work Monday through Friday and be there at 8 o'clock in the morning, if you do that, you're just meeting what? Minimum standards. Are you going above and beyond anything?
No.
That's what he's saying concerning the law. Okay, you're just meeting the minimum standards, and so he wants you to go beyond what the law requires, to be more righteous than the Pharisees, to be more lawful to them, to do what the law says, but also you want to exceed what the law says. So we'll stop here for today. And we didn't really get to jump into the Black history, but I appreciate you guys helping me look up words and that kind of stuff on today. We didn't even start that meeting, I don't even think. So, I meant to talk to you about that. Don't use that email address for those reports.
Okay.
Because when you use that email address, it'll send it out to about 100 and some odd people.
Oh, like a group thing?
Yeah.
So what email address do I
have? The one that I sent it to you from. You sent it to Horace.Miles. My first name dot last name at gmail.com.
Okay.
If you send it to the Yah's Global Kingdom, that group, I think there's about 140 or 50 people in there, and they don't be coming to the meeting. All right. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, my sisters, remember, I love you. I really do. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. Shalom and have a blessed rest of your day. Okay. And where is this? Where am I at online here? Nope, it wasn't there. I hate when I have 1,000 windows open. All right, we'll play the same song, and we will dismiss for this day.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.